Yeah, because I'm on top of things, even though I'm an idiot.
all the events that I've put in your calendar for this fucking shit show New York trip and Chicago trip that you're about to
take. Oh, yeah, get your tickets.
Wait a minute.
I got to go get Callie. She's here.
How much are tickets?
Just bring her right in.
How much are tickets?
We'll just do a segue.
All right. $30?
I hope she brought a guitar. I forgot my guitar.
I told her to.
Okay.
Price includes the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Wait, they're $30?
I don't know.
No.
You don't know?
She's an idiot.
Let's say they're $100.
No, they're not $100.
But anybody listening, if you go on the website right now, you'll get a $70 discount.
Oh, yeah, you know how to sell tickets.
I find that stuff when you tell them it's higher and then they show up and it's lower.
Yeah,
then it's
like
a nice surprise.
They like that.
As opposed to like it's $5, $20 at the door. It's $100, $30 at the door.
Yeah.
$70 enough to go out and have dinner
somewhere. Well, now we blew it because now they know our trick.
They won't remember.
Hey, so come and get our $100 tickets for $30. Well, I don't even know how much they are. I don't know anything about this show.
We know. The thing is, you know they're not $100. So you can say they're $100 or check the website.
I'm not 100% sure they're not 100, but they better not be. They better be under 30.
Or 30. 30 or less.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a fancy theater, you know.
It's a 400-seat theater. We sold 20 tickets.
That can't be the right number. You sold four tickets for like 4 weeks, and then it bumped up to 20 for 4 weeks.
Yeah, maybe there's more at this point. I hope people can't take back their tickets.
The big thing, they can't. No, no. There's no refunds.
Hi, come on in.
We'll just segue.
I'm breaking all rules of podcasting.
Say hello.
We're doing Skull Juice, but this will just merge right into SingStars.
I have to go.
Do you know Dana?
Some Halloween lights.
Callie?
Hello.
Callie. Nice to meet you.
I love your sweater.
Oh, yeah. It's a Casper. It's a Casper face stitched onto like a
Laverne sweater.
And that's real fur, right?
No, it's
I know. But that purse is a real animal, right?
Dana, that's also fake. Yeah. Rob Schraub would kill me.
Bye.
Right. He'd come over
but
my
your
house
skin is real, right?
Yeah, that's real.
Okay. Skin is real. You're wearing skin.
Isn't Andy Dick on this podcast?
Yeah, but I don't know if you've seen the news.
No. What happened?
He molested people.
Oh, no.
No, that's not true.
Oh, no.
Wait, are you going, Dana?
Yes, oh, my God.
Go. All right, see you.
I have to prepare Halloween.
Okay, so I guess this is the end of Skull Juice. Bye, Skull Dingers.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
And welcome to SingSonger.
Yeah! Nice to meet you.
They're just going to be patched together.
Yeah, you can sit there if you want to look at me.
I didn't know if someone was sitting there.
No, that's Andy's usual seat.
He said a phone.
But he's not allowed to have a mic that nice.
Seriously?
Yeah, he's ruined mics. That's a $3,000 mic.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've sung into it. It makes me sound golden-throated.
I probably don't. Oh, yeah, I do need
I like it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sing.
Oh, yeah, no. I got to get more drunk first.
Oh, yeah. Is that alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
I've been here before. I knew where to go.
Nice.
Liquor cabinet.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, I've been on Mike McCafferty's podcast a bunch. I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Oh.
Because I love Star Trek.
And does he talk about, all parts of Star Trek? The first one and then the...
Yeah, so I'm
what about the books?
Oh, God. I've never read the books. I don't know if someone goes on there and talks about the books.
My friend tried to buy all the books. I guess they're books, but they're novelizations of the cartoon.
Oh, those ones. Because there's a million books. Because there's just books that are based off of all the different series and then, you know, like fake universes. And
have you ever written a song about Star Trek?
You know what? I haven't written a song about Star Trek, but I've written a song about Ken Burns.
You have?
Yeah.
What?
Ken Burns fan.
After what movie were you inspired by a certain movie?
No, just I watched all his documentaries again recently, and I was just he was in my mind.
Wow.
I guess it's more vain. It's like I want to be in a Ken Burns documentary. Is what the song's about.
Also, you know, if you write a song about Ken Burns, chances are he might Google himself and listen to it.
That's why I wrote it, in hopes that it would be in a Ken Burns documentary. Well,
yeah, what if he does a documentary about you?
That's
you're not
dream.
In it.
No, that'd be terrible. What kind of?
But isn't that all his documentaries? Like, his subjects are never in it because they're all
dead. That's true. Yeah, I get. Well, no, like he did that. The what is it? The park. What is the big park in New York?
Central.
Central Park 5. I can't believe I forgot the name of Central Park. I was born and raised here. I don't know shit about
it. Yeah, fuck that.
Outside here.
Yeah.
By the way,
I don't go to New York to be in nature. I want the concrete. I like the concrete jungle.
I only went there once, and it was under construction. At least a big
the
chunk
whole,
of it.
What, the park?
I was walking through, and just like sections were like, oh, we're fixing it.
Our grass broke down.
Basically.
Park.
Central Park 5, that's like, that's from the 80s. And it has like a quote from Trump in there saying like, get rid of them or something.
Get rid of Central Park?
No, get rid of like the kids who did it. Because they actually didn't do it. They were accused of like rape.
Oh.
I don't know if you know about it. It's like a big, it was like a big thing in like the late 80s, early 90s.
I remember that there was a lot of rape in Central Park. Yeah.
So these like five black kids got like accused of it. And
I walked all through Central Park. I never got lucky there.
I mean, what time did you go? Were you at like in the middle of the night or like
4 a.m. Like, without pants on and nothing?
I feel like you should. you're just not lucky, I guess. I don't know.
I really am not, or good looking.
Aw.
Yeah, I can't even get raped.
I mean, that might be a good thing, though.
I guess. Yeah, you're a real Pollyanna.
Oh boy, I had no idea I was going to be just walking straight into the podcast.
That's like, the best way to do it.
I would have like taken a shot faster or something. Okay, I'm getting there though. Oh boy.
Yeah.
You're
doing good.
Thank you. I listened to a couple episodes. I had heard it because I had been hearing my roommate Spencer Crittenden.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, and he was listening to them for a whole month once, I guess as, I don't know if he was supposed to, or like he was just chose to. I don't know if it was like an assignment, because he works for you guys.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
And he listened to Skull Juice, so I, like,
he's walking on thin ice. I think he's only heard like three, and he's close to being fired.
Oh,
no, I'm joking.
Spencer.
No, he doesn't have to listen to these.
Okay, well, so he was listening to them.
Yeah.
So I heard them through him, but then I went and listened to a few of the people like that I knew and like Honus.
I love Honus.
I just saw him last night at this big Halloween thing with the Barf and Harmar, superstar.
Do I know?
Do you know him? He's like he hangs with a bunch of comedian guys. He's Jonah Ray's friend. And
oh, okay, I probably do.
Yeah, yeah. He's like shorter, kind of bald.
Oh, short, bald, yeah.
Yeah, hair.
Hair, yeah. Short, bald, and hair.
You're a really good singer.
But Honus, they got to be good on a Halloween time.
Oh, yeah, no, they're...
On a Halloween time.
So good. Then he did nothing but Man and, like, new stuff. So it was, like, it was a treat. And there weren't that many people there compared to what I thought there would be. Like, they were up early, and I was like, this is wasted on this small crowd, because
yeah,
it's so much fun.
Now, how many bands are you in now?
I'm in two, and then I play solo sometimes.
Yeah.
So I guess that's three. But I'm in an all-girl band with Kate Freund.
Yeah.
And that's like a novelty, fun kind of.
And that's kind of like that's kind of country twangy kind of.
Yeah, it's like I'm really into old country, so I kind of pushed that on them and got them into it.
Yeah, old country's great.
Yeah, that's the main influence of that. We do like. From like probably like the teens to the 60s. Like,
oh, wow.
Because we'll do like Carter Family and Skeeter Davis, Patsy Cline, Sons of the Pioneers, Roy Rogers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I love that whole. I like some country after that, but that's like my favorite spot. I don't know.
Do you know Robbie Foulkes? He's been on the show.
No.
He's a good country.
Oh, yeah.
Like new country guy, but.
Oh, nice. Well, but, I like to know, I like to hear other people that are like.
But definitely
in the same
like
thing.
Inspired by like Hank Williams.
Right, right. Yeah, no. I've heard some people say that they really like Hank Williams III, and I haven't heard him.
Oh yeah, yeah. The one you're not supposed to
you
like is
the
Junior.
Second. Yeah, you skip the second. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a big Hank Williams fan. Well, all of them. I love. Oh boy, I like all of that old stuff.
Yeah, but your like solo stuff is kind of like punky.
Yeah, so I'm like I came up in the like kind of like I guess you call gutter punk scene.
Right.
Like my first solo show was in the middle of the night at a skate park, and only 13-year-old boys were watching me because the house party I was going to play got shut down. So we're like, let's go across the street to the park. So that's like that was my original fan base, I guess. And then it's kind of expanded into a three-piece with I have a bassist and a drummer now, and the drummer's from The Manx, who's Mike Chilean's band. You know Mike Chilean.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like a metal drummer, so it definitely kind of we're all in different directions.
So when you're writing songs for these different bands, do you go about it differently?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I've only written a couple for the country band because we mostly just do covers,
right?
But I try to imagine what it's like to be that person in like the teens and.
Yeah, yeah.
All you have to think about is like, oh, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
I'm in love, but he doesn't love me that much, so I want to die.
And there's not enough medicine around.
Yeah, yeah. Syphilis.
Yeah.
So I try to get in that mindset, and I do that for my other songs too, but I mix it up with my own thoughts. But I try to mix it up so much that no one really knows what I actually think or care about.
Are you afraid of showing too much of yourself in songs?
I'm not. I guess maybe a little bit, but I also like leaving it a mystery.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of...
So it's not fear, it's mostly just...
Stylistic,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like I wrote, so my first solo album, which I don't know if I didn't send anything to you, I don't know if you heard anything or not.
I have
heard. Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. So like the first single that I had on my first album was called Clem. And that was based off of a French graphic novel called Gus and His Gang. And I loved that novel because it was like really well drawn and like well written, because it was like it was supposed to be based in like the late 1800s, like cowboy kind of time period. But it's just about their relationships and how everything's going horribly wrong while they're like killing and robbing. And like that the focus is on the relationship. So
right.
I wrote the song in the mindset of the character I related to the least. Because there's this guy named Clem who is cheating on his wife and with this beautiful girl that's like perfect for him and adventurous and fun and likes to rob and kill like he does. But then I was like, well, maybe I should sympathize with the person he's cheating on, even though I wish he would end up with her, and he doesn't. He ends up with his wife.
Yeah.
So I wrote it from her perspective.
That's interesting.
Just because I don't like her perspective, even though that's the perspective you should side with.
Right.
I guess, technically.
But still, do you do that a lot? Do you look at the different angles and go, well, this is the least expected?
Yeah, just because, like...
I guess that's a good one.
You know what it is? It's because it's not what I... normally would think would be like that's how I feel, so I'm trying to like put myself in their shoes sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know, because I grew up, I was so my music biggest musical influence from when I was a kid is Bob Dylan, and like from like age 8 till you know whatever teens, like I would do nothing but play songs. And I liked how he would kind of do that. He wouldn't really write about himself necessarily.
Yeah,
he would write about like these like kind of fantastical worlds or people that he saw and like trying to think through their like kind of lens, you know.
Yeah,
so I guess it comes from that, maybe.
Yeah, thank God, or else all his songs would be just about being a spoiled Jewish kid,
right? And just going from woman to woman.
Oh god,
this is a weird segue, but I read an article once that Steve Jobs dated Joan Baez and wanted to have sex with her just because he wanted to be in a woman that Bob Dylan was in.
Oh, guys are gross.
It's really weird.
And gay.
Poor Joan Baez. She's the real victim of
I know. I mean, like, how would you like to read that? That's like insulting on so many levels.
That's like, oh God.
Wow.
But yeah, anyway, Dylan.
And he said this in an interview?
Yeah, I guess so. Steve Jobs. God, where did I read that? I read it so long ago, but it's stuck in my mind, obviously.
Gotta write a song about that.
I know, right?
Just leave Joan Baez's name out.
That's the thing. Yeah, no, poor Joan Baez. I love. When I was a kid, my favorite movie was Don't Look Back, and she's so good in it. She's just like singing about bananas, and she's just really talented. And he's just like in the room with shades on in the corner. He's like, I don't care about no cats that I don't know. I'm not gonna, or whatever. I don't know. He just says really funny things in there.
I know. I I think that's the movie I saw where, because I always heard he's, you know, he's an asshole and he's like a dick to reporters and shit like that.
Right, right.
But I was watching and I'm like, reporters are dumb.
Yeah, no, they were people. Asking him really dumb questions. So he just was like, well, fuck this and just fucking with everybody. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's also the different approach of like, even though this is a fictitious film, my other favorite film from when I was a kid is A Hard Day's Night. And like Ringo and like George like answering the you know, reporters in that big room.
Yeah, I used to think that was real.
I know. I thought
turn
that
right
one
at
was
Finland or whatever.
Like, yeah. But yeah. I like when someone asked George, like, are you a mod or a rocker? And he's like, I'm a mocker. And I was like, oh, that's a cute way to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Cute assholes. No. I don't, what was your question?
I don't know if I had one, but
I just took it away.
No, that's good. We got to fill time here.
Okay, cool.
You've heard these before.
Yeah, no.
I'm a bad interviewer.
Oh, you're no Dan Harmon.
Yeah. I run out of words. Like I never
No, you're doing fine. I just like talking about all this dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
So we're, your first influence was Bob Dylan. When I have influences, and I try not to, I rip them off and I sound like them, and I did you go through a period of sounding like a groggy man?
No, definitely. I definitely, like, if you, like, I have tape cassettes of myself as a 9 or 10 or 11
I like
girl.
The idea of, like, yeah, a little girl sounding like Bob Dylan. Why couldn't you have brought that cassette?
I didn't think of that.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's definitely weird.
How many roads?
I would try to sing pretty. I mean, you know what's weird? He actually isn't that bad of a singer.
I like his voice.
Yeah, I like it too. He Nashville Skyline, notes. He changes his voice and it's almost like prettier just to be country. And I'm like, he just chooses to sound like that, I feel like, to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I like that voice better than his nasally Lay Lady Lay.
Right.
Stage.
You'll see that's starting to like go
too far.
Yeah. It's weird too, because my dad got me into all of this stuff because he's got all the same taste as I do. Well, I guess he imposed his taste and then imprinted onto me.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, but like, so he would play harmonica, I'd play guitar, and I'd write songs that were like Dylan songs.
Right.
I think I had one, I had an album called, this was 10, so Lonesomeness with a Suitcase.
Whoa.
That was my,
So that sounds amazing.
Well, this is the sad thing. I don't think my songwriting has really changed that much. It's just,
well, I mean, hey, I don't think I've written anything that had that great of a title. Lonesomeness in a Suitcase.
Yeah, no, like later retrospect, analyzing my songwriting and then comparing it to now and having, like, I had a producer ask me recently, like, describe my songwriting. So I had a friend, like, go through all my songs to try to, like, you know, boil them down to their essence. And it's exact the same as when I was a kid. It's all existentialist, like, there's no point to anything.
Yeah, but then do you go back and hear a point that was kind of subliminal even to you in some way?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, like, I also was obsessed with, like, Devo and, like, early punk and stuff. So definitely there was stuff that kind of started to leak in where it was, like, kind of humor, even without trying to be humorous, just because I think I was being sarcastic or depressing.
Right, yeah.
So humor would sneak in. And I think that still kind of sneaks in to the songs. Teenager years, I got super, well, in 20s, I guess, super heavily into David Byrne and Talking Heads. And then I was like, well, this is a completely different songwriting approach because it's like sort of, you know, weird, lucid kind of, you know, doesn't have any sort of super, like, clear meaning. It's like, it's very, you can interpret it. So that definitely had a big influence on me.
Yeah, didn't David Byrne write kind of like, wouldn't he literally just take passages out of books and just
write
and
he would hear stuff on the radio? Like, he did this, his first, like, side album from Talking Heads, he did with Brian Eno, Life in the Bush of Ghosts, and it's literally them doing clips from, like, the radio or, like, you know, like, whatever, fucking, like, baptisms and things and stuff. So I feel like I can hear, once I heard that album and I heard all the clips that he took off radio and from different records, it, like the way he wrote songs became more clear to me.
So what do you mean he took off the radio? He just took lyrics off the radio?
So they literally, like, that was like one of the first albums where it had like sampling. So they would literally record, like there was like, there's one song, I forget the name of it, but it's literally a priest like sucking the devil out of a woman or something, or like a talk show. Yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff. So, like, hearing that makes more sense now when you, like, read his lyrics for, like, you know, like, his famous one, like, Once in a Lifetime. You can hear little bits of things, you know, like... I think he even said that that song in particular was, like, this is not my house, this is not my beautiful wife. It came from, like, something he heard.
Oh,
from, like,
really?
Like, a religious kind of thing on the radio. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Which, so, that definitely influenced me once I, like, kind of understood that, because then I was like... So, I have, like... Well, I guess ever since iPhones, I have, like, in my notes, if I see, like, a word or a thing that I think would be cool, I just make a list of things that I'm going to later write a song about or put it in there somehow.
Yeah. And then, so, and I kind of asked this before.
Huh.
Do you find meanings later? Like...
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, so, like, I remember I was, like, when I used to work, because I work in animation, as you know, I don't know if people out there know, they might know. I work in animation, and I was working on the shelved project Popeye for Genndy Tartakovsky at Sony Imageworks, and I would take the train, and from Burbank, it's quite a train ride. And I remember just seeing like a million, counting like one day, like all the public storage facilities.
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote down that in my notes and I was like, should I write a song about public storage? And so then I did, just, and I went back to that and I found that from years ago and I wrote it recently and then I turned it into like a metaphor or something. But I just liked, I don't know, because it's, I like the kind of banality of things that are around you and then pulling them into things that have meaning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I was looking at Wikipedia, and I, you know, I don't like to have like songs that are like that have Skype in them and shit like that. You know,
I know what you mean. I don't think I have,
because I feel everything's so fleeting. I want everything to be evergreen,
right? Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I was looking at Wikipedia, and I made the observation. Oh, it's very easy to find out if a person's dead or alive. Because if they have is after their name or was.
Oh, right, right.
And I was also writing a Halloween album at the time.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, that would be cool if a ghost, that was his frame of reference. Like, I was an is, now I is a was.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of wrote that, like a screaming Jay Hawkins thing. But it came out of, awesome, like, some kind of other observation. And then, but it had meaning in a totally
different. See, that's totally, I think that's the same thing I do.
Yeah.
Where you connect different things just so that you're not singing a straightforward kind of boring thing that's already been done.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So you have to kind of rework how you would approach, like, if you are going to sing about, like, being in love with somebody or being sad that they broke your heart.
Yeah, let's get a different angle here.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can sneak that in there. I think the only, like, new kind of song, it was on my last album, Contrary to Popular Belief, I had a song where I snuck in stuff about, like, Facebook, but without saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just said, like, because I, at the time, I was going through this thing where I was obsessed with looking if people were online.
Yeah.
And I had to actually, like, get off it. I deleted it off my phone because it was, like, driving me insane. Like, I would wake up at 4 a.m. in the middle of the night to see, like, well, I texted them, and they're online, and they read it 2 hours ago.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And it would drive me insane. So I wrote a song. What the fuck is the name of the song? It's on my last album. I'm going to look it up on my phone. But anyway, so the whole song is about talking about how, like, they're online and I can see what they're doing and it's driving me insane. And they post pictures of themselves at parties and, you know, whatever, and slowly going insane.
Right.
But yeah, what is the name of that song? I got it on here. Two-Way Glass. So that's literally,
oh, right,
like,
yeah. I was going to take a stab at the title.
Oh,
because I also just wrote a Christmas song, and so my stab at the title would have been I see you when you're sleeping.
See, that would be perfect too. Yeah. See, you should do that.
Nah. You already did it.
No, I mean, like, but like that's so, like, I try to, like, sneak stuff in like that isn't so direct. And, like, on our new album that we're trying to make, I have this song called Delete My History, where, like, I'm getting really freaked out by the idea of, like, your digital imprint yeah. on the world. Like, I really want to have some sort of fail-safe program that when I die, no matter when or where or how, like, I want everything on the internet to just be gone. Because you, like, it's so creepy seeing people's, like, Instagrams or, like, you know, whatever pages and their old stuff that they used to have long after they're dead.
Yeah. I feel like it's, even though, ironically... Even though I'm dead, it's your funeral if you go through it.
Right, yeah, no, I don't know. It's just something so creepy about it. But, like, so that song kind of addresses that, but it's about other stuff, yeah. too. But, yeah, no, I definitely, I wanna rig something up where I pay somebody to just, like, go through and get rid of it.
I'm sure you know plenty of geeks.
It's true. I got
Chillion could do it.
Yeah, no, or probably Spencer.
Spencer, yeah, Spencer. Yeah, because he's paranoid, too.
He'll outlive us all. He's a mountain man. I keep thinking about, like, if like Armageddon hits, like I think I'll be okay for a little while because I have Spencer mm-hmm. protecting me.
And he's been running.
Yeah. No, like we've been talking about that because I've been running too. But I think he's been running in Griffith Park, so he might be running uphill, which I'm not doing.
Yeah,
so, just running around. Yeah, no, we should all fear Spencer.
Have you written a song about Spencer?
Not yet. But man, oh God, he always tells me not to worry about, because I get so paranoid about, like, practicing in my room. I have a lockout space with my band, but, like, I like to just always, you know, write songs in my room. And I always tell him, like, I won't, like, I don't want to, you know, disturb you. He's like, I don't care. He's like, I really don't care. Like, I really don't care. But I still, like,
I
even
think
though...
he wouldn't lie.
No, yeah, exactly. He definitely would lie. And I think he really doesn't care. I actually, what I've gotten to know about him, I think he likes as much sound on as possible.
Right, yeah.
He has, like, podcasts going at, like, three times
Yeah, as long
speed.
As it's not directed at him, he's fine.
Right. So I got to maybe get over that. But I feel so bad. I don't know. Like, I was even earlier, I was, like, playing quietly.
Like, when you're writing a song, because I feel like when I write a song, because I'm not an experienced musician, I got to play it over and over and over and over and over.
Oh, I got to do that, too. I mean, I wouldn't even consider myself an experienced. I took a big hiatus from music because I got really, like the everything just started to fail me, kind of. Like, I got a, what is the word? I can't think of words today.
Oh, the words.
Disillusioned.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Because I think I mentioned this earlier, but yeah, I was like hanging out with, you know that club in downtown LA that's No Age, The Smell. So like kids can go there. And that's where I would go when I was like a teenager. And I would work the door so that I could like, you know, get in.
It's like a juice bar or something?
No. It's like literally like punk shows and stuff.
Oh.
Like all sorts of, you know, bands that have now gone on to be bigger, like Deerhoof or Bleach or Ty Segall. Michael Cronin, like they all played there. I would just work the door and I became friends with the owner so that I could like eventually play there because I didn't really know anyone else there.
Yeah.
And then I did form a band with this guy and we got the keys to the place and he'd let us practice there because I didn't have any money to get a practice space at that point in time. I was like 18
yeah.
or something. And we practiced forever and ever and ever, and then we were going to have our first show, and my drummer disappeared off the face of the earth, and then I found out he checked himself into rehab. I found out later on.
Oh, Jesus. Because
he was, like, I didn't know that he was, like, so into drugs that he was, like, literally selling, I don't know, selling his body or something.
Yeah.
but, yeah, no, and then I was like, oh, that completely
He probably
failed.
Has done so many drugs that you can just... smoke his arm and get higher.
Yeah, no, and I didn't even know that he was living in a halfway house. Like, I didn't know any about, because I didn't know him that well. I just met him at that place, and I was like, oh, he's a drummer, and I play guitar, and I also used to play drums, so we would switch, and it was fun. And I had, like, a high school band before that, but, like, you know, I never took it seriously, and I always knew animation was what I was going to do, you know? So then that's when I first had my first country, like, thing with this other cartoonist, where we did country songs, and we recorded at KXLU, and then she kind of just... disappeared, and I was like, all right, I'm done. Like, I gave up. And I just focused on drawing and all that. And it wasn't until I met Mike Chillion that he was like, I showed him some stuff that I used to do, and he was like, what are you doing? You gotta be making albums. Like, what are you just sitting here, like, not doing anything?
Yeah, he's a musician, too.
Yeah, and he's always struggled for years and years, and now he's finally got, like, a semi-successful band. But he had bands for years that he would pour money into and stuff, but he never gave up. So his optimism pushed me to get back into it, and I'm so glad I did, because I really do like doing it.
Yeah. Have you ever mixed the two mediums?
I guess a little bit. Like, I've never actually, like, people keep saying, like, oh, you should animate a music video. I'm like, well, you're just saying that without knowing everything that animating a music video would entail.
It's
like,
a lot
shit
of
ton of work. I feel like someday I will, but, like, I've definitely, I don't know, it's weird. Art kind of influences my music, whereas music can also influence my art, but I guess I've never directly mixed them. I don't know. I am doing a Kickstarter now, and I'm like, the way I'm getting people to fund my album is I'm saying, like, I'll give you all the drawings. So that's like, I guess that's a way of mixing it. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never made like a media. I'm trying to think. My mind's going blank. I should someday. My drummer also, he's a stop motion animator. I don't know if you know him. Max Winston.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Super good.
Yeah, yeah.
He usually just does stuff out of his garage, like on his own, but he's like super talented. He did our album art for our last album. It's all like no Photoshop. It's just all like photo effects.
I don't know if I've met him, but I've certainly heard about him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like he's infamous in the stop motion world just because he's kind of a weird guy.
Yeah, well, you know, animators are nuts.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, they might be more weird than musicians. I feel like musicians are probably a little more down to earth.
Yeah, definitely. No, but I love animators. They just, you know, they're a lot of them are just solitary, awkward people.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think like when I met all those Channel 101 guys, I was like, oh, these guys, even though they probably are considered weird, but I was like, these guys are more normal than what I'm used to.
Right. And how do you, like, when you first got into music, were you more into the writing or the performing?
I performing is really hard for me.
Yeah, so
I like writing.
Because you're an animator, yeah.
Yeah,
you like to be alone in your room. And
write. That's why I literally have to get tipsy or drunk before I perform.
Yeah.
I cannot, without something, go on stage. I would just, like, I'd be shaking too hard. I usually close my eyes, too. I've been told that I close my eyes a lot when I'm talking and thinking.
Uh-huh.
And it's even worse when I'm singing, because I'm really thinking, because I'm playing and I'm thinking of
that's
what
good.
I'm
but
doing.
You probably get into the song more, too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, no, Kay was making fun of me recently. We played this show at the Bob Baker, like, Marionette Theater.
Yeah.
And I forgot my glasses at home, and I had my prescription shades on the whole time. And she's like, I think this is a good aesthetic for you, because, like, everyone thinks you're really cool and standoffish. And I was just like, help me walk backstage. I can't see shit. I don't want to trample on a $100 marionette or $1,000 marionette. I don't know how much this costs. But it was actually nice, because then I actually could open my eyes.
Yeah,
because I couldn't see them. So that might be. Maybe I'll do that. I'm slowly going blind anyway, so I think it's actually going in that direction. Like, I'm really blind.
Like dark blind or just, like, really out of focus?
It's everything's out of focus, and I keep getting new prescriptions every year. Like, last year, my eyes, I got a prescription, and then 5 months after that, they dropped, like, 4 or 5 points.
I think it's okay. You know, I was thinking... let me tell you why you shouldn't worry.
Yeah.
Because you're like me. No, I don't know. Because I was thinking,
you don't have glasses.
You know, I don't, but I was told I needed glasses when I was 12. And
I
never really needed them. Like, I could read and everything. And I think they just wanted to give me glasses.
Because
they told the same thing to my brother. And he kept them because he's like, yeah, I couldn't even see. I didn't know that grass had blades, you know? I thought it was just one green sheet.
You know, it definitely helps art. Like, life drawing, it was great. I would just take off my glasses and see the shapes and the light. And
oh,
the
that's
form.
Interesting, yeah. But I was never that bad. But for the longest time, I was like, you know, if it was between hearing and being blind, I'd
definitely.
Well, what do you think I was going to say?
Oh, but now you think visual might be more important because you work in animation.
Hearing. No, at first I thought being blind would be the worst thing, but now I think being deaf.
Oh, I misheard that. I thought you said that hearing would be the not
I just
hearing
I didn't even get
thing.
It out yet. You
I'm
just
sorry.
You just jumped right on it.
I was like, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I understand.
But I guess you kind of, well, yeah. So, but yeah, I don't I completely flip-flopped on that, you know.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Like, I would rather hear than see, but seeing would be the end of my career.
Well, but then
beginning of the other career.
Yeah, yeah, and then that would kick in even harder.
Maybe that's what I need.
Yeah, you need to be blind.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. There's definitely, yeah, no. There's a lot of good blind musicians out there. I guess not these days, though. There used to be. Everyone was blind something something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Ray Charles. Or
well, they didn't have the LASIKs.
They told me I can't even get LASIK because your eyes have to even out for like 5 years, and my eyes have never done that.
Wow.
And so I'm like, nope, never going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep getting glasses weighing.
It's just going to make your songs better. How often do you write? I bet you write a lot.
I do. I go through weird periods where I'll write too much, and then I'll take a little break. But like recently, I went through a period like that, and I think I wrote. I think I was calculating it like a month ago because I was just going through all the new songs for this new album to figure whittle it down to the best. But I have like over 4 hours of new content.
Wow,
it's too much. It's too much.
But it's great.
I mean, it's great. It definitely makes it easier to pick the good ones because they stand out more because there's more to pick from.
Is there any part of you going, you know what? It's 4 hours of gold.
You know what's weird? It's when you, I don't know if you're like this, right when you write something, the newest thing you wrote,
yes,
that's the best.
Yeah.
Everything else sucks. And then like, it's not till like a month later, you're like, well, it's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's always the newest one.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's like that with art too. Anything I draw today is better than yesterday. And
yeah.
All
and I think that's
before.
Good because you're learning from everything that you have done,
right,
and you're adding on to it. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
And it's easy to weed out because there's been a few times where the last song I wrote, I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I feel... Wait, so how often do you write? Do you write, like...
Well, I go in spurts, you know? I mean, I wrote a lot back in my 20s, and then... And then I just started working a lot,
and then
got married and had a kid and all that stuff. And then I just got back into it, you know, like a year or two ago, and I was looking, I haven't written for, you know, all the songs that you've written, but you know, like this year, I wrote two albums this year.
That's awesome.
Like since June, I wrote a Christmas album and a Halloween album.
And, I like that they're themed.
I know. It's so crazy. Like we released our first album, which was just like all my songs from 1990 to now.
Oh, I see. So you did like really old ones.
Yeah.
I've never thought of doing that.
And then the second album, Christmas album.
Yeah.
And then the third album, Halloween album.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So like when you first started getting back into music, you went back and you took all the stuff that you wrote from when you were younger.
Yeah, and some of it I was unfinished, and I've said this on the podcast, it's kind of like writing with a young man.
Oh, yeah, no, I think I did hear you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is weird. I've never done that, but now I'm curious.
Well, you haven't been around long enough.
I mean, I have songs from when I was 10.
That's
a pretty weird spot.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, just spelling errors and grammatical.
That's how you help the kid. Like, let me, you know, there you there's a silent E there.
Yeah, no. That's a weird, like, so... Yeah, God. I think I do the same thing. Like, I won't write for months, and then I write a song every day for, like, 2 months.
Yeah. And it really helps if I have other things to do.
So, oh, yeah.
And
I
use writing to procrastinate.
Yeah, exactly. Drawing and writing are, like, the two funnest things. Writing a song and drawings, and then, you know, just all the stuff you're supposed to be doing, which is usually drawing, but it's, like, when you're forced to do a certain kind of drawing, you
exactly.
want to do, like, the fun drawing.
That's how it is with writing for me, you know?
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, I sold a show, and it's, like, it's been my dream show, and I'm, like, I'm not going to write. I'm just going to
songs. I know, it's such a weird thing. Yeah, God, I don't know. Like, they should analyze that. I'm sure someone's analyzed it. Like, what part of your brain makes you want to do that and, like, gives you those endorphins that, like, you feel better when you're, like, fucking
well, it's,
off.
I guess, yeah. I mean, to put it very simply, it's just the pressure.
I guess so.
And you're like, well, I'm going to avoid this pressure, and I'm going to do something that no one wants, which is a Christmas album full of sad songs.
I mean, that sounds fun. I mean, yeah, God, Christmas, not till recently, I always associated it with, like, depression and sadness.
Well, that's what the whole album is.
Oh, then perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one happy song, and it's about dive bars. Because nice. That's where I would go to avoid my family when I was in my 20s. You know?
Oh, yeah, no. I didn't even celebrate Christmas for years. And I wouldn't tell people because then they would pity you.
Oh, yeah. No, nothing better than being alone on Christmas.
Oh, I've been alone on Christmas probably most of my life. Or not most of my life, half my life. Yeah, no, but if you tell somebody, like, oh, what are you up to? I'm like, just at home. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry you're not with your family or you're not doing something. I'm like,
It's romantic. Bob Dylan wrote Just Like a Woman on Thanksgiving. He was invited somewhere, but he just stayed in his hotel room and wrote
fuck it.
That song.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no,
like, I remember telling somebody once I ordered a pizza on Thanksgiving Day, and they were
pizza's
like,
delicious.
No,
you
know, I know.
What, you know what is, you know what's awful? Turkey. Dry, yeah, the no, driest
dry,
bird,
yeah,
the,
dry turkey.
The lamest, unflavorful bird ever.
I would eat, like, a side of mashed potatoes and gravy with my
stuffing's
pizza.
Great.
Yeah, that stuff's good. If it's done
stuffing
right.
Stuffing on pizza, holy shit. Or
oh,
a,
yeah,
or
no.
A stuffing crust pizza.
Oh, my God. This is. I think you just invented a new amazing pizza, just Thanksgiving pizza.
I think I did.
You dip it in gravy.
Instead of tomato sauce, it's gravy.
This is so good. I love it. See, you should do a Thanksgiving album next.
Everyone's joked about that, but I could write. There's appetizers, there's leftovers.
There's Rape and Murder, the Trail of Tears. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's Injuns and Pilgrims.
It's perfect. It's ripe with ideas.
Yeah, it's ripe with rape.
God, whenever I, like, the first thing that when I hear the word rape comes to mind is actually a song. It's always that Rolling Stones song, the Gimme Shelter.
Oh.
Rape, murder, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just a shot away.
It's interesting. The first record we did with the band,
it was all rape.
I had a song, and it started out. I changed the lyrics, and I changed them to, I'd force her if she'd let me, and I said, you know, the original lyric was I'd rape her if she'd let me, and my lead guitar, our lead guitarist said, you got to put it back in, and I did, and you know, it's better. And then for the Christmas album, I rhymed. I did a song about a breakup on the Christmas record, and I rhymed mistletoe with rape whistle blows. And he's like, you got to take rape whistle out. The same guy.
Rape whistle.
He's like, that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well,
how
it's
is
so
rape?
Specific.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess if it was like adorned with like, you know, like reindeer bells or I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Christmas-y.
So we changed it to train whistle, which is good because train whistle is about leaving.
One of my other favorite. See, that's the cool thing about music. It makes you, like, if you hear a specific word, it always makes you think of a song, at least for me. I think of that. Frank Sinatra did it, but it's not his song. Like the blues in the night, because it's like, I think it says something about the train whistle blowing. It's like, here's a something calling the hooey, the hooey, the hooey. I don't know if you do. It's always in cartoons.
Right.
But I think, yeah, no, God, there is some weird rape song that was in a cartoon that I found out it was about rape, but they don't sing the lyrics in, like, this Warner Brothers cartoon, but later when I heard the song it was based off of, it was about rape.
Oh, wow, yeah, a lot of that old shit, you know, it creeps up on you.
Oh, totally. It was like, what is it? It was like this Warner Brothers cartoon that was black and white with a cat getting tortured by all the mice, and they had captured her kitten, and they're going, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, but that song is, like, kind of rapey.
Yeah.
No, there's a bunch of that. Every Betty Boop cartoon is rape. It's just her about to be raped. Every Popeye cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, like, Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
That's totally about rape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All cartoons is rape.
There's an old song by, I think they're called the Traineers. There's this group. And it's just this old doo-wop kind of black group, and they sing a song called Poontang. but it was before anyone knew what Poontang, and they were just I'm sure they were just laughing.
Yeah, no.
That they got it through, and they actually define Poontang in the song. Like, poon is a hug, tang is a kiss.
You know, I think I have heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I haven't heard that in a long time, though.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of, like, hidden message songs like that where they have, like, some slang for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should bring that back. I guess that probably exists, but probably a lot in hip-hop, maybe. They have, like, weird, like, terms for things that you don't understand what they are.
I don't know. Hip-hop, don't they just say rape?
Probably. I'm not an aficionado on that. God. Yeah, no. Oh, boy. Trying to think of something else besides rape.
Well, how about a song? You want to play a song?
Okay, yeah.
You mentioned one early on.
Oh, the Kim Burns one?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to play that?
That one's pretty... Yeah, yeah. It's pretty simple.
Or whatever you want.
No, I mean, I could do that one. It's pretty straightforward. yeah, no. Should I... Okay. I'm going to take off the headphones.
Yeah, we could, you know, you could keep talking off the...
Is this like... Is this show edited? Or
no, God, no.
God, no.
No. We don't have that kind of money.
Should I... I guess I could just... You could just mic it, because I was about to say it has a little plug-in.
I think the... Oh, yeah, you can plug it in, actually.
Yeah, whatever you guys... whatever works. I'm not picking.
Would you prefer to do it through the DI box, or... I mean, this will pick it up fine, like, okay. Acoustically in the room.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you want to plug it in. Or you can try it out, see how it sounds, and if you prefer something else...
Okay.
We can change it. You want to try that first?
Yeah.
I think it's going to sound good.
Okay, cool.
I like your
my laid-back attitude.
Are you singing with it as well?
I am. Yeah. Wouldn't that be weird if I just play guitar instead of nothing?
Can I lower this just a little bit?
Oh,
kind of
totally.
Cut the difference.
Oh, shit. Right. I forgot my tuner. I actually...
I got it on my phone. I got a tuner on my phone.
Oh, man. That shit's always like a little wonk, though.
No.
No?
No.
I got this.
Guitar tuner.
You don't use these things? Like little clippy-ons?
No. I can't carry that and my phone. What, do I look like a muscle man?
Let's see.
Do you want more drinks?
Yeah. Could someone make me a rum and coke?
Is anybody out there?
Yay, thank you.
Where's Tish?
Where'd she go?
I can make you rum and coke. Do you prefer stronger on the rum or stronger on the coke?
In the middle.
Somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
Short thing.
I love this place.
Yeah. I was about to say, this is the best podcast studio I've ever been to.
Yeah. It's the best one I think I've only been to this one.
Yeah, I was about to say, most podcasts I always end up being on is like someone's house.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
No, this is great. I've actually recorded music here, like...
Oh, really?
Like, for the whole Halloween album I did here.
Oh, that's... Well, see, so you're all set up perfectly.
I know. Yeah, like, you know, I'm just milking the studio
while I
got it.
Yeah, no, that's smart. I heard, because I've been developing a show at Nickelodeon. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Maybe I'm not. But anyway, they have like a really nice studio with a bunch of instruments people can play, I've heard.
Now we got to edit.
No, I think, I didn't say what it was about or
okay,
anything
good.
Else. It's fine. That's probably, I mean, it's not common knowledge, but whatever. Who cares?
And no one listens to this.
Okay, just one Nickelodeon executive is listening. They're like,
what the fuck?
Okay, so this song's going to be on our upcoming album. And it's called Ken Burns.
Is it your solo album?
No, so this would be... So my... Oh, I guess I haven't even said that. My band's Caligazoo.
Yeah.
But that's also what I go as a solo artist. Basically...
Yeah, because I listened to Caligazoo stuff, but the punkier stuff, is that the band or...?
Yeah. So okay. That's the band.
Okay.
But like the bassist has never been on album. He just joined in the last couple of years since after our second album. First album was just solo that I recorded with Tommy Meehan, who's like the main guy in the Manx, like the lead singer, banjo player.
Yeah.
And he does like composing for like cartoon shows now. Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
In case it's too rummy.
Awesome.
Oh man, I didn't stir it, so you might want to just give it a little
yeah. stir. Thank you.
A little behind the scenes of Sing Song.
Exclusive. Yeah. Well, this would be an exclusive.
They don't stir your drinks.
I've never played this anywhere on a podcast, so this is exclusive. You can say it. World premiere.
Yeah. Love it. You want a sip before you sing it?
Yeah, right? That's clear that throat.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hope people like the sound of me sucking
producer.
Through
a straw.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to drink some more before you take another take?
Oh, God. You know, actually, my last album, I had to constantly drink Coke. I don't know why, but that helps. Coke and then tea. I would alternate.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They say carbonation's bad for your voice, but I like having a little bit of a rasp.
Yeah, exactly. I when I have carbonate, because I'm, you know, 52, I just burp through songs. So.
I like it. Actually, I'm gonna do more. Yeah. Draw this out. Yeah. definitely the band is going in a heavier direction, because this new album would be our most rocking, quote unquote. Such a cheesy way to describe it, but that's the only word that comes to mind.
Well, you know, if you were a real rocker, you wouldn't laugh. You'd be like, yeah, it's more rocking.
Rocking. Yeah, no, see, that's the thing. I gotta come up with a persona, because on stage, the only persona I can think of is don't talk, because if I talk, it just becomes jokey.
No, just
and weird.
Be the giggly you. It'll be great. I don't see a lot of
just
that.
Just nervous laughing and like,
yeah, why not? And then you go out and you just fucking shred.
Yeah, yeah. We've been talking about that. I want to have, like, I don't know if you have your band. I've seen you play once, but it was a while ago. I missed your last show because I came late. I don't know if you have them do, like, music in between while you're tuning and you do a little banter. I know you do banter.
I don't tune.
Okay, well, then never mind. Then you have no problem.
Yeah, they got a bone to pick with that one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I always have to, like, switch pedals and, like...
No, I talk too much, actually, in between. like, the bass player is like, you talk... I mean, you're upsetting the flow of the music. And I'm like, oh, well... I'm not really a musician.
We'll see, but now you are. Now you are.
Now I
That's
am.
That's the thing. Yeah, no, it's a weird thing to think of yourself as a musician when you don't, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's a song.
All right, Ken Burns. Is it called Ken Burns?
It is.
All right. He could probably sue you, but go ahead.
I hope not.
Can say the image you would use.
great song.
Oh, thank you.
Did you like, obviously you watched his documentaries and you had this idea. Did you go right to the guitar, or you start writing words first? Or?
You know, I do both.
Yeah.
When I can't, if I'm at home, when I feel compelled to write a song, I sit there and I write a line, and then I think of chords that sound cool with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm somewhere else, like on the bus or you know, whatever, walking down the street, I write a line and then I like put it aside.
Just one line.
Yeah, usually, because yeah. I think the line that I first wrote for that was like, I want to be Sitting Bull and Little Louie. So it literally was from watching all of them in a row. Because Sitting Bull is like, he's in the documentary about the West, which is really tragic, you know, Native American story.
Yeah.
And then Little Louie was Louis Armstrong's original name. They called him Little Louie because he's little.
Right, yeah.
And then like, then I watched the one about the national parks. And then I watched the one about the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
But I liked, like, you know, when you're watching it and it's just, like, sound effects and stuff. So then I tried to, like, I don't know. It, you know, and also I had just gotten in a fight with my band saying, they were like, all your songs are so long. And I was like, fuck you, I can write a short song. So that's my attempt at a simple song.
Well, so wait, why were they saying your, I mean.
Yeah, my songs usually are very long. That's, like, my shortest music.
And what does that mean? Because you have so much to say in them? Or
usually, like, they have like a bunch more verses and then like extended bridges and like endings.
Right.
Whereas this one was like, you know, me attempting to try to like, I can write a short, simplistic song.
Cause yeah, I mean, I think I write, cause I run out of steam. So all my songs are short, but, I have a couple longer songs, but like, do you ever, like, because there were a couple songs that I wrote that they said, well, this might be long. See where you'd cut it. And I'm like, I wouldn't cut it. Is that how you look at your songs?
Oh,
too?
Totally. I think it's always like the songwriter, at least for me, and it sounds like for you too, like the songwriter always thinks like, oh, this is a perfect length. And then the band are like, oh, we could.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see like, yeah, it seems a little long, but when I look at the lyrics, I'm like, this, every lyric needs to be there
right.
in order to tell the story.
Exactly. I think that's where my point comes from too. I think my perspective is like, well, I don't want to cut anything because I like it all.
Yeah. What? Yeah, so how long are your songs usually?
Usually they're like, they always are like 4 minutes or more.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten a few that are like more concise. Like the main single from our last album, Not a Problem, is also kind of like that where it's short and simple.
But I like, you know, I mean, it has different levels too. And I mean, this is a short song too, but
yeah.
You know, you're playing with the dynamics.
Oh, thank
well, you.
Know. Yeah, no, I think I was, so in high school, I don't know if you were like this, I was like in all the, like, concert band, marching band, jazz band.
No, I wasn't in anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just, so I was, just, but I played drums and stuff.
I wasn't
stuff.
Really even in school, to tell you the truth. I mean, I didn't do homework or anything.
You know what's weird? I went into marching band because my brother, who was in marching band, and he was a year ahead of me, he told me, like, oh, if you do 4 years of marching band, you don't have to do PE. And I was like, yeah. Fuck PE.
Yeah, you're marching.
Right. Yeah, and it actually ended up being way more work. Like, and I was in LA, so like,
what did you play?
So I went from the bass drum to the snare, and then I stuck to snare and like drum set. But we would be in like the Veterans Day parade for like UCLA, and it'd just be like, all this stuff that you had to do outside of school, and like the Universal Studios Christmas parade. I remember being behind the SpongeBob float and the bubbles getting in my eyes.
So you grew up out here?
Yeah. I'm from El Segundo area.
Okay.
Near LAX. But born and raised. I was born actually in Inglewood.
Wow. I don't know anyone was really born there.
I know. There's not many of us. Everyone either leaves or they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
I think all my songs tend to be long, probably because of that whole Dylan influence, maybe. I don't know. I just...
Do you what's the earliest song you've written that you remember?
The earliest song that you
could play.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't remember the lyrics, but... And I was like... And I remember because, so my dad taught me...
How old were you when...
I was like 9.
And then what was the song about? Do you remember?
I think it was just about like nothing. Like walking down
the
street.
Jerry Seinfeld of songs.
Yeah. You know what? So like my dad taught me to play guitar, but he taught me like E, A, and then he taught me some weird ones like F7 something. Mm-hmm. And so he would only teach me like one a week usually, and so then I would just move them around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So you wanted to write songs immediately.
Oh, like, definitely, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's how I was.
And I still don't know what they are. Like, yeah. Sometimes I've found out what they're called. E6. I didn't know. I was just like, oh, it's an E minor without the other finger.
Yeah, it's hard. So how do you write them down and remember them? You just got to keep...
I draw them. Yeah. So I draw a chart. Okay, yeah, so yeah, like yeah. Kind of like tablature, right. Which I later found out on the internet was tablature, but I had been doing that, like writing down where my hand right, was. Yeah. I still don't know what a lot of chords are. And like... Definitely, like, doing covers of songs have helped, because I'll just steal chords that I think are cool in songs.
Yeah, yeah. When I...
Well, I guess it's not stealing. I don't know.
No, definitely. Like, if I run out of ideas, I'll just go through a songbook of, or now the internet, but, you know, some song
totally.
That I like. And
yeah, no, my favorite place to go to is, like, playing, like, a Beach Boys song, because they weren't written on guitar, so when you play the chords from a Beach Boys song, like, they're really weird.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I think, like, one of the chords I... or at least hand position that I did in that last song was from a Beach Boys song. And so was this. It's from, like, I Wasn't Made for These Times. Or I Just Wasn't Made for These Times on Pet Sounds. Yeah, no, it's a lot of just, like, moving stuff around till I hear something that works well. Not really having an actual plan.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Now, do you write with anyone else ever?
Or? You know what? Not really, but I have helped the Manx write before. But, like... Not really chord-wise, more like I'll help them, or I used to help them write lyrics and then melodies and harmonies and stuff. So, like, they would be working, and I would just throw something out, and we would record the whole hangout, and then Tommy would be like, yeah, that. But I did write one song off of one of their albums called Blood Gold, and it was always fun to hear them play that, because I was like, I wrote it. That's and I got cool. to write it from their perspective, like, you know, men.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do that? Have you done that? Because you like going to different perspectives.
Yeah.
Have you written a lot of songs, like, through the male perspective?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I've written a few even through, and I won't even tell them who they were, but I wrote, like, a few, like, from the perspective of my friends when they were going through shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, like, you know, there might be a time, and I feel like, I don't know if you agree with this, but most songwriting... It comes from some sort of pain. And sometimes there's actually times where you're like, don't have any discernible pain.
Right, and you're like, I got to feed off somebody else's pain.
Yeah, so like I wrote one about a girl from my friend's perspective.
Yeah.
Like whining about her.
Yeah, I've written a song about like a girl who always had bad relationships and always blamed, you know,
the other person.
The other person, yeah.
Oh, God. This sounds like me.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of all of us, you know.
But see, that's what's so cool about songs. It's like someone can hear it and be like, that's me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I wrote it through her perspective, and it was her singing it, but obviously there's a lot of me in it, too.
Right.
You know, you can't help that.
No, see, that's what's cool. It's
and
like...
And you learn to empathize also with the people you're writing about, because you're like, oh, yeah, this is what they're going through.
Totally.
Because I've gone through that, too.
Because, yeah, it's like context and all that, and then also your perspective might even shine new light for them, because then they're like, oh, you know, it's that weird thing once someone points something out to you, like a therapist or something, and you're like, oh, and then you see it all. It's all clear, like a maze. Like, oh, there's the whole maze.
Yeah, and they don't know it's about them, so they're like, oh, yeah. Cool.
Right,
somebody
right.
else is going through this.
Yeah, that's awesome. yeah, no.
You have another song?
And then I got so many songs.
Well, yeah, I know you got a lot of songs, but
I even brought my lyric book because I was like, I could play new ones that might not end up on this new album, or I could play one that's off this new album.
Play something that's not on it.
Not on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Get the lyric book out.
Yeah, I'll do that. Or I might have one in my head. You know, Kate Freund, she just did this horror show, and she actually used my song in there, but it's not on anything at this point.
Uh-huh.
But it was a song that I wrote just, you know, normally, and then they needed a song that was, like, old-timey, and they couldn't get the rights to one. And then her and her writing partner were like, you know, that song you have, like, if you recorded it a different way, it actually would sound like an old song.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh, okay. So I did that recently, and it just came out on her Crypt TV show called, what is it called? Afterlife.
Uh-huh.
So it just premiered on there, but hasn't really...
Oh, cool.
But this would be a different version. The way I do it normally would not be like that at all.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, why not?
Do you need another... here, let me...
Oh, sure, thank you. Little music stand thing. I actually mostly have this memorized, but you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a little...
So this whole book is new songs, and it's almost full. Just junk. Thank you, Dino.
Yeah.
The hostess with the mostess. You provide...
Yeah, look at them, nice carpeted...
Yeah, I like everything's like
wall
this.
To wall.
Yeah, no, this is perfect.
It's like my parents would have that kind of music stand. I preferred the hardwood music stand, but my parents get the...
Oh, yeah, no, I had a nice one, but then part of it got stolen, and so now I have like a seafoam green one that completely compacts into like a little tube, and then you undo it and it comes out.
And it's sturdy enough?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's sturdy enough. Like, if you knocked it over and really stepped on it hard, maybe it wouldn't...
Yeah, like, these things are just, like, nothing's happening here.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, do you have many bands playing here, or...?
Not bands, no. Just singers. Singers.
You don't have your band recording here?
Not at the same time.
Oh, you never do, like, live?
No, no. Oh,
that'd be cool, though, right?
Yeah. I don't know if we could put drums in here.
Sure you can.
All right.
Our lockout space is like this size.
That's true.
This might be bigger than our lockout space.
Yeah.
We share one with the Manx. They
but
have
it
really
would be hard
amps.
To separate the sounds, though, don't you think? Usually a drum's in another room.
Well, you know, like the, yeah, sometimes, I mean, I guess, you know, it depends on what you're doing. Those old-timey recordings, they would have them all in the same, you know.
And then you just wouldn't mix it.
Yeah, it would just be a live performance kind of thing, you know. They would mic it so you can kind of mess with the levels, but it would be its own kind of experience.
All right, well, maybe we'll try it.
Do it.
You talk like me
it.
Into it.
Yay!
And if you want to bring your band in here, I'll see what I could do.
Oh, that would be sweet. There's only three of us, so we're tiny. I don't even move around. My bassist, he makes up for my lack of movement. He just jumps around the stage, gets on the drums, jumps off, gets on the amp, jumps off.
Yeah.
My drummer has... I don't know. He looks like he's possessed when he's playing drums.
Drummers are weird.
And I'm just in my own little... Like, if I had a sheet over my head... If I were, like, what is it, those Jewish people that have sex through a sheet? That's
They're
what
just
I,
Jewish people.
Yeah. No, but, like, the hardcore ones.
The Hasidic Jews.
Hasidic Jews. That's what I want to just be, like, under a sheet playing guitar with, like, a hole with my guitar head sticking out. That would be perfect. So this one I wrote earlier in the year.
You know, they always say that, like, the Hasidic Jews, like, having sex through sheets, like, like, you know, because they're modest or whatever.
Right.
But I think that's kinkier.
You know what? I agree with that. That is weirder because it's like it put, you know, you have to try it out and see.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd like it. All right, go on.
This song is called, what is it called? A Place With You.
A Place With A View?
A Place With A View. No, A Place With You.
Oh, sorry.
A room with a view.
A room with you.
My mind immediately went to that Gore song, A Womb With A View. Another, oh, God. This one's kind of hard to sing, too, so hopefully I don't fuck it up.
That's all right. I fucked up so many things in here.
I love it. All right, let's see.
My ears are ringing, my heart singing, got an inkling that I want you. Hours breaking, ground shaking, heart palpitating, tell me what to do. That nervous touch you want so much, little star you said, tell me what to do. Thank you.
just ends.
Yeah.
That's great. Kalamazoo!
Thank you.
That was great. I can't picture that being old-timey sounding.
So, like, the influence of that song, like, one of my other influences, Roy Orbison, because I like how all his songs always end in, like, a climax, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. just build. Also, he's just sad, and his whole life is sad, so yeah. songs are really tragic. But they turned it into, like, that. So I worked with Tommy from the Manx, and he recomposed it so that it was, like, kind of like, I think it was more like, don't. Dunk, dunk, tick,
right, yeah,
dunk,
yeah.
Dunk, dunk, dunk. And it was just all slowed down and mellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And did you end up singing it? Or?
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. So I sang the whole thing, and then I got some friends to do harmonies, and we kind of, like, tried to emulate that sort of, like, oh, like, kind of, like, yeah, yeah. operatic kind of stuff with some friends that sing way better than me. And it came out great.
Cool. Like, yeah, when you do something like that, it educates you on a different way of...
Oh, totally.
...writing, too, maybe.
Yeah, no, know? I think I definitely... I would like to work with more people, because I usually just write songs on my own, and then I present it to my band, and then they like sometimes rework it, but yeah, for yeah. the most part I'm just presenting them the songs I wrote.
Do you like playing acoustic more than band, or both?
Oh, definitely acoustic, and yeah. and there's definitely a reason for that. So my dad, he wouldn't allow me to play electric guitar till I got good at playing acoustic, because yeah. he's like, electric's so easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got an electric, or it was my dad's electric. He had sold it, and then he bought it back from his friend to give to me, but it was this like Gibson Les Paul that he actually bought the night I was born.
Oh, wow.
He went to a Lakers game the night I was born, and I guess because to celebrate, he's like, fuck it, I'm going to go to Lakers. And he went over to his friend's house, and he saw the Gibson Les Paul, and he's like, oh, man, this guitar's great. And his friend was like, yeah, if you want it, give me a couple $100. So he bought it the night I was born. He sold it later for money, and then he later bought it back so he could give it to me. And then that's what I used in high school. And so I guess I mentioned it earlier why I got this was the first reason I got discouraged. It got stolen in Manhattan Beach.
Oh.
There was this girl that like broke into a car outside our apartment, and she was spying on us all day.
Oh.
And she saw me come down with a guitar, but it actually wasn't that guitar. It was my yeah. friend's guitar. And then she later at night broke in and like took my guitar, took a bunch of clothing, put it on, and like ran off into the
man.
Night.
And you never got it back?
No, I never got it back. And I had just bought a half stack from my high school teacher that like would customize amps and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is pointless.
That's too bad.
Yeah, no. And then
so much history in that guitar. Yeah,
yeah, it was like, yeah, exactly. It was like, it was my guitar. And I, for some reason in my mind, I was like, oh, this is a sign. Everything's fucked. But I just got really heavily into acoustic. And now I think my songwriting, even though it did originally start that way, I feel like it's so dependent on the acoustic sound and like rhythmic kind of
yeah
things. Like that's how I write, like everything's kind of rhythmic. And
yeah, and do you just write on guitar? Do you play anything else?
Well, because I only do drums and guitar, so yeah, no, I only write on guitar. I never had like my dad had a keyboard growing up, but then it broke, so I never really learned that.
Yeah. And was your dad, and he was a musician obviously, did he write songs? Or
he did, but they were like
bad.
They were not great. Yeah, no. But he was the reason, like, he had, like, the Bob Dylan lyric book, and then I just stole it, and I actually use it so much, and I still have it. All the binding is broken, and every little part is just, like, like, destroyed. But yeah, no, he mostly just did Dylan songs. Like, that, like, I remember one of my earliest memories growing up is he would always come in at night when we were going to bed, and he'd, like, sing me and my brother's songs. My brother and I shared a room. So he would sing Dylan songs, or... Yeah, Neil Young or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, God. Yeah, there was all these... So that was one of the reasons I gave up. And I only just got an electric guitar like a few years ago and gotten back into that. And I would say that my electric guitar playing is sort of not so great because of that, because I took such a long hiatus from playing electric guitar. It's just, it's a different feel, you know?
Yeah, and do you like playing solo...
I like both, because I've definitely been told that, like, from certain people, they like my sound solo, just because the way I play kind of lends itself to being solo, but...
I tend to gravitate more to liking artists more solo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, no, I mean, but I like playing with a band. It's just, it's almost like it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Playing with a band
it's
is like...
completely different, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I like both, but, you know...
Yeah. Well, do you have anything to plug? I mean, I'm having a great time, but I got dinner reservations.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
No.
So I mentioned it earlier, but I'm doing a Kickstarter right now, and it's only got 2 more weeks, and we're like halfway there. And basically, if we don't fund it, I have no way to pay
What's
for
today?
Another album.
Today's Tuesday, right?
It's Halloween.
So this will probably go up next Tuesday.
Okay.
So then you'll have a week left.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. Well, so really get on there. But
it's okay because no one listens anyway.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no. Well, even if one person who's got $1 million, he's like...
Pfft. Oh, that's true.
I mean, we're halfway there. We're asking for $9,000 just because I did all the costs of like how much it would cost to do everything. And we've done like... I did my first album in my friend's kitchen, and then we did the second album with a friend who has like sort of a semi-studio setup in his house. But like, we really want to do a professional album with this producer, Toshi Kasai, who produces the Melvins and Tool and like... all sorts of bigger bands, but like I feel like that's the next step in like making a better sound.
Yeah,
no, just having like an outside sort of creative force going, like curating it basically.
Yeah, we got lucky. Our first album, we did it with this guy, Sheldon Gomberg, who produced a lot of. He's a Grammy award-winning producer.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It definitely makes a difference, though. Like, it makes a big difference having... Not that the other ones are bad, just, like, I want to keep going forward. Like, I don't want to keep making similar-sounding stuff. I'd rather make something, like, a lot, like, better.
Yeah. And do you have any upcoming shows in the next 2 weeks? Or?
No. Right. No, I had been doing a monthly show with my friend Abed Gaze at your Stockton's Castle.
But yeah, like it's a comedy show?
It was a comedy show, yeah. but it was a variety show. So right. I would try out new songs there, and like that was great. Cause
Abed didn't play an instrument. Did
no.
No.
No. Yeah, no, God. I mean, he would probably want to.
Yeah, of course. Everyone wants to.
Yeah, no, but like I love that venue because like then you know people come in and it's like you know you can try out some new stuff on them like guinea pigs.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
But we don't have any right now.
Well, we don't have a venue right now.
Right, exactly.
We'll get the permits and you come back.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, no. So in the future, look up What About Me. We have a Facebook page. What About Me with Abed and Callie.
All right. Thanks. This was great.
Thank you. Yeah, no, and just, yeah, look up, just Google Kalaikazoo and Kickstarter, which I know are 3 Ks in a row, and I'm sorry.
Why? So what?
K-A-L-I, and then K-A-Z-O-O.
What's wrong with 3 Ks?
Kickstarter.
3 Ks are great. Doesn't mean you're racist.
Yeah, no. That's why I made sure to call the Kickstarter, like, third album extravaganza.
People are too sensitive nowadays.
I don't want to stir the pot.
Yeah, I know. I do. But luckily no one cares about me anyway, so. All right, well, thanks.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yay!